Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Cam Kardashian. Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.
Look at you!
All right, honey, buddy, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hammer. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, it was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I mean? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Came out. If you like the Beatles, the Beatle movie,
Shows gave that a 63%, and that came out June 28th. My daughter went and saw that, and she said that it was really good. She liked that. A horror movie, Crawl, about alligators. It came out July 12th. Tomatometer gave it an 84%. So that is just a few of the movies that were at box office. And coming soon to DVD, if you're interested, they have Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. That's another horror movie that is coming to theaters August 9th. The Kitchen, about the mafia wives and how they're not going to let men take advantage of them anymore. That is coming out August 9th. All of these movies so far. Dora, oh my God, they made a movie, a real-life movie about Dora. Brian, can you believe that? A real-life movie about Dora the Explorer. Dora and the Last City of Gold. Yep, that comes out August 9th. These are all movies, if you're interested in seeing them, they come out in August. The Art of Racing in the Rain. Yep, that comes out August 9th as well. And this movie, it is about the art of racing in the rain, based on the best-selling novel by Garth Stein. The Art of Racing in the Rain is a heartfelt tale narrated by a witty and philosophical dog named it's a cute little dog movie named Enzo, voiced by Kevin Costner, through his bond with his owner Denny Swift. Milo, who is played by Milo Ventimiglia, an assuming Formula One race car driver. Enzo has gained tremendous insight into the human conditions and understands that the techniques needed to be on the racetrack can also be used to successfully navigate the journey of life. So that is what the Art of Racing in the Rain is all about. So, if you're interested in that, if you're an animal lover like I am, okay, The Peanut Butter Falcon, that is in theaters August 9th as well. And what this movie is about, the tomato meter gave it 100%. So, they previewed it and they gave it 100%. A modern Mark Twain-style adventure story, The Peanut Butter Falcon, tells the story of Zach Gottsagen, a young man with Down syndrome who runs away from a residential nursing home to follow his dream of attending the professional wrestling school of his idol, the saltwater redneck, Thomas Hayden Church. A strange turn of events takes him on the road with Tyler, a small-time outlaw on the run. Okay, so that's what that movie's about. It sounds like it might be cute. It comes out August 9th as well. So if you're interested in that movie, so there you go. Dying to Survive. Like I said, all of these movies come out August 9th. And if you're interested in coming into the studio right now, the number is 319-527-6099. Again, we'll do a couple more movies. Dying to Survive. This looks like it might be a horror movie. I'm not sure. So, well, it doesn't have any reviews yet. So when a former father, struggling to keep custody of his son, keep his business afloat, and keep his own father alive, is given a chance to profit off of overseas pharmaceutical smuggling, he jumps at the chance. But what follows is one man's profound evolution from what it is to make money to what it is to make a difference. Golden House Award winner for Best Actor, Best New Director, and Best Original Screenplay. So that's what that movie is about a father who's trying to survive, to keep his son, to keep his business, and to keep his own father alive. So if you're interested in that, and we'll do one more movie, and let's see, Oh, Frenemies. The Angry Birds movie, too. Oh, wow. Okay, The Angry Birds, they have a movie coming out. If you like video games and you like games on your phone, the tomato meter, they gave that an 80%. The Flight flightless angry birds and the scheming green piggies take their beef to the next level in the Angry Birds movie 2 when a new threat emerges that puts both Bird and Pig Island in danger. Red, who's played by Jason Sudeikis, Chuck, who's played by Josh Gad, Bomb, who's voiced by Danny McBride, and Mighty Eagle, Peter Dreklage, recruit Chuck's sister, Silver, who's played by Rachel Bloomin, and team up with Pig's Leonard, his assistant Courtney, and Tech Pig Gary to forge an unsteady truce and form an unlikely super team to save their homes. So, again, if you're into video games and you like games on your phone, Angry Birds 2, that is coming out as well. So, again, there you go. So, this is just a couple of the movies. And, excuse me, I got a tickle in my throat. While we wait for Brian to come into the studio, we'll recap what the top 10 movies at the box office were from this past weekend. Like I said, number 10, The Farewell. Over this past weekend, that made $1.5 million. It's been out for 3 weeks, and it doesn't have a budget, so far it's only made $3.6 million. Number 9, Annabelle Comes Home. Yep, the movie about the possessed doll. Over the weekend, Annabelle made $1.5 million. She's been out for 5 weeks. She doesn't have a budget, so you don't know how much it costs for Annabelle to be made. But so far, Annabelle has made $69.7 million.
Is that
number 8
in the total?
Yeah, that's total so far. Hey, there he is. And now, without further ado, the number 1 radio personality, Brian the Hammer Jackson. And now, can I cough? Because I've had a tickle on my throat for the last 5 minutes, and drinking's not helping.
Yes, you are. Yes, you can.
You on drugs?
Yeah, I'm on drugs. I was.
Good morning, everybody.
You know,
welcome to the show. Thank you, Alan, for letting me come in the studio late. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the show. We are global. We are worldwide. Today, our special guest will be Mike, the bro, Mel. He's coming in. We're going to talk about politics and what's going on right now. And there's a lot going on. In fact, he's not here yet. I'm just going to pay a little bit of Mitch McConnell. I'm going to see what Mike wants to talk about today. I didn't really set up the show, but there's a lot going on today with Mitch McConnell, who Joe's Carl named him Moscow Mitch.
Yeah.
Because
Moscow
what's going
Mitch.
On. Yeah. I forgot how to spell Moscow. How do you spell Moscow, Ellen?
M-O-S-C-O-W. Moscow.
So we're going to talk about that. There's the Baltimore thing. We will talk about.
How far, Brian, how far are you from Gilroy?
I don't even know where that is. I think that's up north. Yeah, it's a bizarre shooting.
Yeah,
that's bizarre shooting.
I think they said something about it's around San Francisco.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I heard somebody saying something about, it's San Francisco authorities when it first happened.
Oh, okay. Because actually, I think I heard it's beautiful. I never been there. I don't know where it is. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You're not safe anywhere. You know, somebody shooting up
a garlic festival.
I mean, my God. And again, they were linked to Trump. He was a Trump supporter.
They showed the pictures. They showed the pictures of the three people that died. I mean, two of them. One was a 13-year-old. Another one was a 17-year-old girl.
Right. You know, it's funny. We were talking about that. I mean, if you're a lady of faith or you believe in faith, we're all going to die, and and it's God's will, but how he chose for us to die is kind of rough.
Mm-hmm.
You have to die, so if you live long enough, you're going to die of something. If you don't die of cancer, you're just going to die of something, because that's just how it is. So you can go to the other mm-hmm. place. But if you're a person of faith and says, well, your time is up, but it's, I understand that, but does that have to be so violent? I mean, really crash,
I know.
Why
can't it be, why can't it be something, not so violent?
Yeah. I mean, there are some people who say, well, it's time for you to go. Go, okay, Lord, I'm ready. And you fall into a wood chipper. That kind of hurts.
Hey. A wood chipper.
I know you got to go.
Mike is in the studio.
I know. Oh, Mike's in the studio?
Oh, my God. Did you see that? I saw it last week. It was in Florida. And lightning struck 8 people on a beach in Florida.
Yeah, it happens. When I was a kid, I don't remember so many people getting struck by lightning, but now I'm hearing a lot more people getting struck by lightning. I don't know what the hell's going on there. Did they die, or are they...
No. I don't think any of them died. I know one was hurt really badly, but I don't remember hearing that any of them died.
What was that saying? Huh? If you hear thunder, go under. There's a saying in here in California that if you can hear the thunder, there's possibility, and it's a possibility that you could be struck by lightning. And what did he say? You count how many times the thunder.
When you hear thunder, start counting 1, 2, and each number is supposed to be a mile. Like if you get to 5.
Right.
Then the storm is 5 miles away.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting. Let's let Mike Bomo go. I feel like taking Mike to the beach. Let me see if he'll go to the beach with me. Hold on 1 second.
You feel like taking Mike to the beach? Okay.
Morning, Mike Bomo. Good morning.
Morning. Yeah, I like the beach, but... Why are we going to the beach?
No, I figure that we're going to go to the beach.
He wants to feed you to the sharks, Mike.
just before, it's just like a show warm-up. Maybe we'll go to the beach. There's just a lot of stuff.
Wait, Brian. I have something to say. Why are you going to the beach? Because you've always made it adamantly clear that you do not like the beach.
Well, I like it now because my Bromo's there.
And how can you not like the beach? How can you not like the beach?
Okay, Mike.
Go ahead.
Let's get comfortable. And, Mike, whatever sounds you hear, let's just go with it because you're an actor and you're a producer. I just feel like going to the beach. Right, Ellen?
Okay.
All right, Mike. Uh-huh. Let's see.
Okay.
First of all, let's... I don't want to call Uber because Uber's a pain in the ass, and I don't want to get raped. So we're going to take my car.
Okay.
You're going to take the show car?
Yeah. The company car. We're going to take that. What do you think, Ellen? We're going to be right back because me and Mike Bro are going to the beach,
We're taking the cannabis? We're taking the cannabis?
No, you're not going. Yeah, we're going to take me and Mike.
Can't take my cannabis.
All right, then me and Mike will take my car. It's a Jaguar, Mike. No, let's take the Alt. All right, let me see.
Oh, okay.
Me and Mike
you're going to take the chick magnet.
Yes, we are. We're going to the beach. What do you think we're going to? Yeah, of course. All right, Mike. All right,
Has Mike ever heard our cannabis song?
I don't think so. And I'm from Denver. You would think I would have heard it.
You would have. Oh, wait a minute. A car's not... I don't think we can go to the beach, Mike, because the car's not working. Car's not working.
Well, the cannabis is working.
You told us we cannot take the cannabis.
Well, only if I go because I drive the cannabis.
You're not going.
Well, the then you can't take my cannabis. I guess your beach trip is out.
All right, Mike, okay,
yes.
Mike, forget it. I stole her car. I mean, let's get it. All right, Mike, I'm gonna get on my side.
You
Ellen.
Stole my cannabis?
Shh. Okay, Mike, you have to get in. I got the door open, Mike.
Okay, I'm in.
There you go. There you go, Mike.
You closed the door on my hand.
Yeah, ow.
Ouch.
Okay, now, Mike.
Yeah.
You say first, safety first. You have to get on your seatbelts. Make sure you get your seatbelts on.
Yeah.
All right. We're in a car. All right. And let me put on my seatbelt, Mike, and we're going to go to the beach. And, Ellen, you hold the studio while me and Mike. We'll be back in a little bit. Okay, Ellen?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
Mike, do you have your seatbelt on?
Well, my hand, I can't use it. You broke it when you slammed the door on it.
Just stick your hand out the window. We'll be back. I'll take you to the hospital after the beach. We can't miss
Yeah,
it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, while
all
your
right.
hand's sitting all infected and gangrene-y.
Right.
All right. We're getting ready to go, Mike. We're all comfy. Got my seatbelt on. Mike, you got your on. Let's get ready to go. Oh, sorry.
Oh, jeez.
We can't. Don't roll down the window because I got the air conditioning. It'll be fine. Don't worry.
They need to take your sound effect buttons away.
What sound effect? Anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, Mike. All right. The beach is only like 5 miles away, so it's going to be a short trip. Are you ready to go? All right, we're going to drive very carefully. All right, Mike. Hang on.
Hang on for your life, Mike.
To get away from the car, Ellen. Ellen, get away. We're leaving. Don't get out front of the car. All right. God, you're so protective, Mike. All right, Mike. We're going to get out of here.
Thank God she is.
We're going to drive very careful. Here we go, Mike. All right, we're here. All right. Oh, Mike, look. It's a beautiful beach. Would you like to get out of the car?
No.
Mike, you have to get out of the car. All right, Mike. Mike, get out of the car. You're at the beach.
And all of a sudden you hear the jaws.
Yeah. That's about right.
All right. Here we go. Mike, finally got out of the car. Thank you, Mike.
You keep slamming the door on my hand.
No. Well.
Now it's the other. Oh,
all right. Let's go.
I closed the door on my dad one time.
Did you really, Ellen? What are you doing at the beach? Ellen, what are you doing at the beach? All right, Mike, let's go see if you and I can find a little spot. Here we go. All right, Mike, here we go. We're at the beach. Mike, listen to this. Oh, look at the ocean, Mike. Oh, isn't that nice? Oh, that's beautiful.
Sounds like the toilet.
What kind of ocean? This is not Jersey. Oh, look at that, Mike.
Well, it sounded like you flushed the toilet.
No.
Okay.
Oh, look.
Can you hear the ocean breeze?
No.
Oh. All right. How about now? Can you hear the ocean?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, that's, Mike, we're on the beach. All right, here we go.
Okay.
Oh, look.
Hey, Mike.
Look who it is underneath the tree, Brian.
Ellen, what are you doing at the beach? Mike,
because
would you
I'm
like
here.
To rub some suntan lotion on my back?
Time.
No.
Give me... Playing.
Would you rub some suntan lotion on my back, Mike?
No.
Okay. I'm going to rub some suntan lotion on your back, Mike.
No.
There we go. Isn't that nice? Does my
no.
hand feel warm and comfy?
No.
Oh. You are so difficult. Mike, let's go swimming. You want to go swimming, Mike?
No.
Mike, going swimming.
Mike, Mike, would you like to come down? Would you like to come down the beach with me? Jimmy Buffett's playing. Look, he's playing Margaritaville right now.
That'd be nice.
You know what? I'm not going to take you to the beach anymore. We're going to go swimming if you like it or not. We're going swimming, Mike.
He's going to drag your ass to the water.
Mike, the water is very warm. Yeah, come on in, Mike. The water is great. Come on in, Mike. The water is fine.
Oh my God, Brian,
watch out. There's a shark.
Ellen, there's no sharks at the beach. This is no shark beach. Come on in, Mike.
Really?
Look.
I don't think there's such thing as a no shark beach anymore. Yeah.
Mike, wait a minute. Do you hear something, Mike?
No.
Huh?
Oh, now I do, yeah.
Do you really, Mike? Okay, let's splash around a little bit, Mike. This is going to be fun. Mike.
Yeah, let's splash around,
around a little bit. Oh, look at that. Mike, you look so cute with your water wings on. I like it.
My water wings, yes. Yes, they are.
Uh-oh. Do you hear something, Mike? Mike? Mike?
Yeah.
Is that you? Is that you nipping at my feet, Mike?
Doing what?
Mike, where did you go?
Oh, did I get eaten by a shark? I guess I got eaten by a shark.
Oh, my God, Mike. Where are you at? Mike? Well, our next guest is coming on. Is out. I got to go get
Mike.
Are
you going to take Allison?
Oh, that's not good. All right. We're going to leave the beach now.
I told you, you would have been better coming with me to my Jimmy Buffett concert.
I know you would have.
Well,
you know, you're no fun.
I wanted
going
to go.
You're no fun. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do the Mike Wormell is here, and we're going to talk about politics. And if you'd like to come in the studio, Ellen has the number. And Ellen, the number is...
And I promise you won't get eaten by a shark. The number is 319-527-0099.
Okay. Mike, if you have something on your mind you want to talk about, you may, or we can go with this, what's going on with Mitch McConnell. It's up to you, buddy. I'll let you lead this one off.
Just go ahead with what you have. Why don't we start there?
Okay. What we're going to do, Mike, is this is a big thing. Moscow Mitch. 3 minutes, and I'll let you respond to this. This is Lawrence.
Okay.
And I'll set it up. I'm a big fan of Good Morning Joe. I'm not going to play Good Morning Joe right now. But he's very upset, and he's screaming about Mitch McConnell. Now, here's the deal. I think Mitch McConnell is, he represents the state of Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And Mitch McConnell made a deal with an oligarch, a Russian oligarch. And it's kind of a secret deal. But the Russian oligarch made a promise that he would build some kind of plant in Kentucky, which will create a lot of jobs. And there's a bill on the House that some Democrats are saying that Mitch McConnell will not put to the floor, and the bill is supposed to help the security with our elections, and Mitch McConnell's not doing it. And so now that's why they call him Moscow Mitch, and this is where Lawrence O'Donnell will come in. Here you go.
Today to express his outrage over Donald Trump's racist weekend rant against Congressman Elijah Cummings.
First, there is something I need to address.
He looks like he has a stroke, but here we go.
Mitch McConnell rushed to the Senate floor today to express his outrage over Donald Trump's racist weekend rant against Congressman Elijah Cummings.
First, there is something I need to address.
It wasn't the Trump weekend of public racist rants. That didn't bother the majority leader of the United States Senate one bit. He didn't care about that. Hasn't said a word about that. Here is what Mitch McConnell felt he had to urgently address.
Over the last several days, I was called unpatriotic, un-American, and essentially treasonous by a couple of left-wing pundits.
Not me. Not guilty. Didn't do it.
to smear that I am, quote, a Russian asset, ran in the opinion pages of the Washington Post. The accusation that I am, quote, un-American was broadcast on MSNBC. This is the state, Mr. President, of left-wing politics in 2019.
No, it's not. The person who called Mitch McConnell un-American on MSNBC on Friday, which provoked Mitch McConnell to go to the Senate floor today to complain about it, is not a left-winger. He is a former Republican congressman. I want to talk about Moscow Mitch. Moscow Mitch says it's a hoax. How can Moscow Mitch so willingly turn a blind eye? Moscow Mitch won't even let the Senate take a vote on it. Joe. That is un-American. He's Moscow Mitch. Joe Scarborough called him Moscow Mitch 16 times Friday morning when I was watching Morning Show. Joe Scarborough was objecting to the very same thing that Washington Post columnist Dana Milbank was objecting to in his column entitled, Mitch McConnell is a Russian asset. Dana Milbank is not a left-winger. Dana Milbank is not a partisan political columnist. Dana Milbank, who has now found his way into the congressional record through Mitch McConnell's complaining speech today, said that Mitch McConnell is a Russian asset because he is blocking legislation requiring presidential campaigns to report any offers of assistance from foreign governments to the FBI. Dana Milbank wrote this about Mitch McConnell. Presumably, he thinks whatever influence Russia exerts over U.S. elections will benefit him. He's up for re-election in 2020 and his party. So the lesson of the day is, do not dare call Mitch McConnell a Russian asset or an American or Moscow Mitch, because if you do, he just might repeat some of your words into the congressional record, where your words will live forever.
There you go. I want to explain this to me, Mike. Now, first of all, are you okay, buddy?
Yes, I'm fine.
Okay. First of all, are we at war with Russia? Simple question.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it depends on how you define war in this day and age. Well, mm-hmm. in the past. I mean, we were involved in a Cold War with the Soviet Union and then and probably now Russia as well. So I would say we are in a type of conflict that some might fairly describe as a type of war, certainly using cyber technology and other things like that. And you know, there's something very different with the Republican leader of the Senate being quite cozy with Russia and blocking legislation, simple legislation, to beef up our election security. That's some pretty strange stuff. So we're definitely in some kind of conflict. I'm not sure if war is you know, necessarily the most proper term for it, but there's something going on, and Russia, I think, in many ways has the upper hand when it comes to relations with the United States.
But do you see, hypothetically, looking from the outside, what is wrong with an oligarch from Russia, just on the outside, looking in from the outside, helping a senator in Kentucky, just for a conversation's sake, and helping to create jobs there, helping to employ people there? What's wrong with that? I mean, if it wasn't Russia, you think we would be this up in arms if it was Sweden or Holland or even Britain?
Well, Sweden, Holland, and Britain don't have a stated objective of defeating the American, the U.S., not all American, but the U.S. government. the U.S. nation to mm-hmm. gain advantages over the United States in any way it can. So, and Russia is, you know, the simply put, is an enemy of the United States. So there's a difference between a Russian oligarch and a Swedish business person starting a business in Kentucky. They're not the same thing.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying right now, if you just look on the outside, first, you know, we have this thing about Russia. Okay. Well, right now we're not in a war with them, and I'm just saying, what is the big deal? What is the big deal? I'm just playing devil advocate that you have an oligarch who is happening to make a deal that'll bring jobs to your state and get many people employed. I mean, we have companies all over the world, right? We have companies in Mexico, we have companies in Tokyo, Japan, so on and so forth. What could be the big deal here, Mike? Is it, you know, and like Trump says, what is the big deal about I'd rather be friends with Russia or I'd be friends with North Korea than be adversaries and then we come into a war? I remember, Mike, you... Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. I thought you were done. Go ahead.
I remember a story, and I'm hoping you can help me with it because I'm going to paraphrase it. There was a story about Ronald Reagan in the White House. And he's just sitting there in the White House. And this is all this Cold War stuff was going on at the time. Well, who was the president of Russia at the time? I think it was Gorbachev.
Well,
I'm quite sure.
At the end, it was Gorbachev.
Yeah. And then he made a call. Let's say Gorbachev. He made a call to Gorbachev. He was just sitting there at night, just having, you know, a cup of coffee, whatever. And he decided to make a call. And Gorbachev picked up the phone, and then Reagan started talking about, you know, about the missile, the race, the arms race, what's going on, and about we can blow up the world three times over. Maybe we should talk about this. And they just started with a phone call, and they started to meet. Nothing happened the first, second time, but then the third time, it became the arms deal, their nuclear deal, where they're going to de-escalate nuclear weapons and dismantle nuclear weapons. And they became friends for a long time. Now, I take that. Do you remember that? You know the story, right, Mike? Because I'm paraphrasing.
I know the general. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yes.
So, what's the difference if Donald Trump decides to pick up the phone and call Putin? Now, and Mike, I'm going to ask you a question, and people think, you know, people don't get into politics as much as if you're a news junkie, like I just became one.
Mm-hmm.
But you agree that we have spies everywhere. It's standard quo,
sure.
Right? They have, and you
well,
agree.
Well, we historically
okay.
have. With Trump as president, everything when it comes to U.S. intelligence has been in chaos for 2 years. So historically, that's been the truth. What's going on right now? I couldn't even guess.
Yeah, I feel the same way. But what I'm getting at, if Reagan did it, why can't Trump do it?
Reach out.
Yeah.
There's a lot of reasons for that, I think.
Okay.
First of all, Reagan, before he got to the point when he was having, you know, direct conversations with Gorbachev, there were years of lower-level negotiations between the United States and the Soviet Union, years,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then higher-level voting, Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, and the complementary ministers in the Soviet Union. So, yeah, you know, there were times when Reagan would pick up the phone and call foreign leaders, but there had been a stage set and built well before those phone calls occurred. And then secondly, internationally, I mean, Reagan certainly had his critics, but amongst our allies and, you know, world leaders generally had respect for Ronald Reagan, and that's
mm-hmm.
lacking when it comes to Donald Trump. I literally
mm-hmm.
cannot think of one world leader except for the president of the Philippines and the president of Brazil who have demonstrated anything close to respect for Donald Trump. He's somewhat of a buffoon, so he doesn't have the panache. He doesn't have the stature of any president. Going back to, you know, maybe James Buchanan right before the Civil War. He just has no respect and no stature around the world, or even in the country for that matter. So, and I think that plays into it. And then finally, the probably most important difference is Trump doesn't listen to people who understand geopolitics, international affairs. He doesn't listen to them. And they know what they're talking about. He does not. And as an appendix to that, he lies all the time. So no one trusts him.
Right.
And that not, they literally don't trust him, because he'll say one thing on Monday and completely contradict and shift gears on, not Tuesday, but Monday afternoon. And all of that makes him a very ineffective in international affairs. So I don't think that, you know, when he says, what's the problem with a Russian oligarch coming into the United States to do business? The minute Donald Trump uses that phrase, what's the problem? That to me has always been a red flag in the last 2.5 years to explore all the reasons why that is a problem.
Well, let me ask you this. This came out, this is from the Washington Examiner. This came out yesterday. No, actually, I'm sorry. It's today. It's today. And it says here, let's see if you agree with it. It says, this is why Trump is likely to win in spite of bad polls. This just came out today. It says, and tell me if you agree with it. It says, recent polls appear to give Democrats running for office in 2020 comfort, but in reality, it should cause concern. The leads they enjoy are not as great as they appear, because leads 16 months ahead of presidential elections. Wait a minute. I'm getting pop-ups here. Let me see if I can get rid of them. It says here, because the lead 16 months ahead of presidential elections are tenuous. You know, they're doing what these papers are doing, giving nothing but ads unless you do it. Let me see.
That's because the Washington Examiner is kind of a right-wing, a little bit of clickbait site, yes.
Okay.
So you're going to get a lot of ads.
Oh, okay. Well, it says here, polls show Trump in apparent trouble. NBC/Wall Street Journal's latest poll shows Biden leading 51% to 42%, and Trump trailing Kamala Harris by 2 points. This is today. Warren by 5 points and Sanders 6 points. Yet in the presidential elections, incumbents are remarkably resilient and challengers extremely, you know, evanescent. Help me out, Mike.
I don't know. I don't know.
Evanescent. Evanescent. Evanescent.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I have to put on these things called glasses. In the last 100 years, only the 3 elected presidents lost elections. How's that, Mike? In the last 100 years, this is really staggering. Only 3 elected presidents lost re-election, and the ones who did was Herbert Hoover, Jimmy Carter, and George H.W. Bush. All the rest won, and all except Obama in 2012 increased their popular vote percentage. Now, going with that, here's a soundbite, Mike, and let me see if you agree with this at all.
About your internal polling as it relates to Joe Biden?
No, because we have great internal polling. There were fake polls that were released by somebody that is, it's ridiculous. No, we are winning in every single state
Wayfair
that we
has
polled.
Lots of options for
we're
your
winning
polls.
In Texas, well, very
million.
Big. We're winning in Ohio, it's very big.
The art of sipping. Okay. So once you order, you can relax while they do all the work.
Wow. You're right, Mike. It's almost impossible to go off that paper because so many ads are popping up. But
when Donald Trump said that, he was lying, because
right.
he had three pollsters on his campaign team. They all said the same thing: you're losing everywhere. You're losing everywhere. You're not winning anywhere. And he fired him because he didn't want to hear it. So, and the thing is, you know, when you look at the presidents who weren't reelected, yeah, Carter, the two of them were in the last 30 years, 35 years, whatever it is. And another important point with Trump, I mean, he likes to ignore this fact, and so do Trumpists, is he did not win the popular vote. And he won the election in because of three states where the combined total of his victory was 70,000 votes. I don't think in American history, certainly not in the last 100 years, there's been a situation where, except for George W. Bush, and that's a whole nother, I'm not sure if we're even talking apples and oranges when we look at the Bush 2000 election and the Trump election in 2016. But that's a 70,000 vote swing in Ohio, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And that's, you know, that's minuscule. And this idea that, you know, him talking about how he's ahead everywhere is totally false. And in those states, he has serious problems because someone like Biden, particularly, Biden, you know, with all of his shortcomings, is a classic politician who is well supported by working men and women. And that's what it's going to take in Ohio. I'm not saying I'm endorsing Biden, but that kind of candidate, a candidate that working people have an affinity for, is going to win in Ohio, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Trump loses two of those states. He has no prayer of winning. And he has problems in other states that he did win in. And, you know, so it these national polls, which show Trump behind, aren't really as important as state-by-state polls. Because, again, with an electoral college, it's the outcomes in those states. And Trump has real problems in Ohio, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Clinton campaign made a fatal mistake. She stopped going to Wisconsin. She stopped, and she may have done the same thing in Michigan and not gone. Ohio, I think she kept fighting in because she thought she had them locked up. And you can be darn sure a Democrat's not going to make that mistake in 2020. So it's, you know, and I get it. Trump supporters are not going anywhere. But Trump supporters do not make a majority of the voting public. They're just not. They're not even
but
close.
But they don't need it. Again,
yes, they
Trump
do.
Did not
they,
win
they,
by
they,
a popular
they,
vote.
But they are going to need it. The reason they're going to need it is because it's a 70,000 vote blip. 70,000 votes out of millions of votes cast. It's, you know, what is it? It's 1/100th of a percentage point. It's some minuscule amount. They are going to need it. They're going, and Trump is not going to have. There were some suburban voters that voted for him because they wanted to send a message that they were frustrated, whatever. They're not going to do that again with Donald Trump. They've seen the damage Donald Trump has caused the country. Those voters are gone, and Trump is not going to get them back. That's one universe. And say it was 5%. You know, Trump can't lose a percentage in states like Michigan, Ohio, and Wisconsin. Well, he doesn't have a prayer. He literally can't lose a percentage. And he already has, because there are people in those states that voted for Trump last time that absolutely won't vote for him again. And he is not attracting new voters to him at all. None. Zero. There's not a groundswell of people saying, I didn't vote for him last time, but I'm going to vote for him this time. It's not happening.
There's a congressman called Emanuel. I can't remember his last name.
Emanuel.
He's a Democrat.
Lewis. Emanuel Lewis.
No, is it? No, I don't think it's Lewis. He's Lemon black,
Lewis.
Though, but it's a black congressman. I had him, and I wanted to segue to this because this is kind of important. I think it's here. It's Bobby. Okay, Representative Bobby. No, is it Bobby? No, but it's Emanuel. Why did I got Bobby? Damn it. It was very important, and I was trying to find his name because what happened was I heard him on MSNBC, and his name was Emanuel, and he's a congressman. Do you? I can't.
I'm trying to find him right now. I'm not sure.
Ellen, do you know who we're talking about?
Emanuel. There's an Emanuel Cleaver.
Yeah, that's who. Emanuel Cleaver. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
The reason I'm going to segment this because can you spell his last? Can you how do you spell Emanuel? E M M U E L.
He only has one M in his. E M A N U E L, and Cleaver C L E A V E R.
Okay, Emanuel Cleaver. This is really important. Let's see, I'm still not pulling him up. Cleaver. Let me see. Okay, Emanuel Cleaver, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Emanuel Cleaver, I'm going to see if I can pull him up. Yeah, that's that son of a bitch. Here's a little bit of him. Hang in there with me, Mike, while I pull him up. You're going to hear some sound bites. Just hang in there with me. So here's Emanuel Cleaver on the floor. And I think there's a floor of the Mueller thing. And this is what he said.
Ready to make a statement. I came in here to try to do this in a fair way. I kept warning both sides, let's not do this, hoping we could get through. Mr. Paul had a situation where we could be in here on another motion to take down words of a friend of mine, but we don't ever want to pass up, it seems, an opportunity to escalate. And that's what this is. I'll dare anybody to look at any of the footage and see if there was any unfairness. But unfairness is not enough because we want to just fight. I abandon the chair.
All right, now that's him. Now here he is talking about impeachment, Mike, and the reason I'm playing this is because I got pissed off at him and I went to war with him on Twitter. And he pissed me off. He pissed me off. He really did piss me off. And apparently he was sidestepping that you know, they're not even playing it. Okay, I can't find it. So he was on NSB. He was on NSB. Actually, Trump, not sure, just on immigration. He was on, where I watch, NSNBC. Anyway, so he was talking about Trump and obstruction of justice. There's enough evidence, blah, blah, blah. I was going to try to play it, but I guess he's not even important enough to put on YouTube. And so the person says, well, are you going to cast your vote for impeachment? Well, no, there has to be enough evidence, and we're waiting for, you know, the Hemp Hall thing. You know, we're going to wait till we get more evidence. I believe in the speaker, and the speaker says, you know, we should wait. And so he said that yesterday. He said that yesterday, Mike. Pissed me off. Well, I'm going to read my tweet to this gentleman. And I was nice, Mike. I was nice. I was very professional. So right after I heard that, I was enraged. You know what I mean? I wanted to choke a chicken. So I hopped up, went in my man cave, and I went right to my computer. And I'm going to read the tweet that I sent out to him, which is very important. Here we go. Oh, look, my followers got bigger. Hey, finally they recognize genius. Let me see. I still don't know how to work. Mike, are you on Twitter? Do you know how to work your Twitter? Because
yeah.
I have no idea. I have no idea how to work Twitter. I can't find my tweets. I can't find my
tweets. All you have to do, Brian, I told you.
What?
Go to your page. Go
You're
to
right.
your profile
I'm on
page.
It.
Yeah.
Okay?
Where's
and
that
it has tweets. It has tweets, tweets and replies.
I'm you know what's going to be faster? I'm going to go to Facebook. I'm going to go to Facebook because I retweeted on Facebook. I'm going to go to Facebook. Thank you, Ellen. I'll work. Teach me how to do that later because I have to get my – so I'm tweeting everybody.
Okay. And Mike is in the studio.
Sorry?
Arkansas Mike is in the studio.
Oh, let him in. Let him in. So I tweeted this guy. Good morning, Arkansas Mike. I know they're patiently waiting for me, but it's very important. No, Nancy Pelosi called her a whore. Okay, not that one.
called Nancy Pelosi a whore.
Yeah, look how she's dressed.
Here's what you wrote about Cleaver. I just
Thank
saw
you.
Representative Cleaver on MSNBC. What a weak Democrat you, sir, are. An embarrassment for the people you represent. You should be voted out. You're a spineless puppet. Regarding impeachment, if you had a mind, maybe you could make it up for impeachment. Vote him out until he grows some balls.
Thank you.
Why even need another party? Why do you even need an opposition party when you got supporters?
And I'm a Democrat.
That's what I'm saying.
Friends like me.
Yeah. Who needs
yeah.
any? You'll rip a friend harder than even somebody than an opponent running against me. Yes, sir.
Exactly. I said if you had a mind, maybe you can make it up for impeachment. Vote him out until he grows some balls. Now that's what I actually said. Now I wake up this morning and guess what? He voted for impeachment. He's on board. Yeah. He's on board.
Wow.
There you go. I'm hoping he read this, and I should have said love Brian, but I think I made a statement.
Love Brian.
Now, what I'm about to thank you, Arkansas Mike, for coming in. So what I'm trying to say, Mike, is that I would like you to play devil's advocate for a minute. I know you hate it because it's a bitter taste in your mouth. Can you give me three reasons why Trump may win and three reasons why he may not win? Let's get the first pro. Three reasons why Trump may win the presidency.
There's only one reason that he might win the presidency, and that is if Democrats nominate someone and other people who supported other candidates become miffed, like happened in 2016, and sit out the election. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. One of the benefits of having so many people in the race is you don't have like a Clinton and a Sanders just constantly battling each other. And there were Sanders supporters who were saying after the 2016 primaries that they were going to vote for Trump to spite the party. Now, I don't see that happening this go around. That is the only way Donald Trump can win this election is if, and Democrats are known to shoot themselves in the foot. So I'm not saying this isn't a possibility, but the likelihood is slim that we're going to end up with another scenario where, you know, say the Democrats nominate Kamala Harris, and Sanders supporters are all up in arms because she's not supporting the same type of health care plan that Sanders supported. I don't think you're going to see the same type of thing that happened in 2016 with supporters of other candidates saying, I'm going to vote for Trump. Some will sit out the election, but it's quite different to sit out the election than actually cast a vote for the opponent. That does double damage. So Beyond that, I don't think Trump has a chance of winning.
Well, what are the three reasons why the Democrats will win?
One is kind of a mechanical comment that I'm making. No president ever has had an economic, has been president, whether he's responsible for it or not, is irrelevant. No president has been in office with this type of economic, seeming economic prosperity. And I say seeming because a lot of it's smoke and mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
And not had much higher approval ratings. And because that's not occurring, that should be the biggest red flag of all to Trump supporters. He's not getting the mileage out of the economy. So running around saying it's the economy, stupid, doesn't work
right
for Donald Trump. That's not what it is.
Right.
So that is that gyration in the background. The fact that Trump is unpopular despite the economy is a big red flag, a big shadow that should be apparent to anyone working on the Trump campaign. The next thing is I think that a reason why the Democrats will win on the positive side in 2020 is they actually have candidates that people like. It's hard to – I can't –
That's a good
I'm
point.
Not sure who,
That's
yeah,
a good point.
I mean, I'm not sure that – yeah, they really do. I mean, no matter what, there's certainly infighting going on. There's pot shots going on. But the Democrats have a lot of candidates running who Democrats and voters, as they get to know them more broadly, like them. They're likable people. And I think people, in and out of politics, undervalue how important likability is. I really do. I mean, Jimmy Carter didn't get reelected, but Jimmy Carter was a likable peanut farmer from Georgia.
Right.
And with 2 years experience as governor of that state, that pretty much was it. And he got elected in part because he was a likable guy. And Ronald Reagan, despite what people think about his politics,
mm-hmm.
he was a likable guy. And I got to say this, I didn't vote for, I sat out the election when George W. Bush ran against John Kerry because I was just like, I can't vote for either of these guys. But I got to tell you, and people meant this as a backhanded compliment, but they would say, George Bush is the kind of guy you want to go out and have a beer with. He doesn't drink, and he really did give up drinking beer, and good for him. But he was. I was horrified by him as president, but by God, I think, I'm watching him now as, and he's not president and doesn't have all that weight on his shoulders, seeing him interviewed. And, even my staunchest Democratic friends are like, you know what? Kind of a nice guy. And the Democrats have that in a lot of their candidates. They have nice folks running for president. Republicans don't have that. And that matters.
Well, I don't know. I wish I could. I'm going to put Arkansas Mike in here, too. But I'm going to have to debunk your theory. Because let me tell you, I cannot stand to see Trump's full rally. But what I see is him doing stand-up. When he talks about foreign policy or he talks about the economy, he doesn't go into details. He says, "Oh, it's great. It's always never been so great." He always talks in absolute, but he never goes into the detail about the foreign policy or his policy at all. It's more or less him gyrating on the stage, and I really think he wants to be a wannabe comedian. So I'm thinking, and they're cheering him on. He's mocking in front of the camera. So then I started thinking, maybe he has something there, because when I listen to Pam, my one, I call her the chosen one, Camilla Harris, that's my chosen one.
Mm-hmm.
She's a prosecutor, so she talks kind of like a prosecutor, and I get lots in the weeds. And I did the same thing with Hillary Clinton. It was just crickets going on in my ear. And when Trump got up there, he caught my attention, and I think what it is that he keeps it stupid. Trump keeps it stupid. And I think there's something about it. when he talks, the economy is better than ever, never been before. We got jobs, never been ever. We had so much job. The unemployment rate, again, he has the same sound message. I just heard him this morning. The African Americans, they got more jobs than they ever had before. He keeps it simple, and it's resonating.
And it's only resonating with that same segment of the population.
Mm-hmm.
It's not resonating with most American people. Most American people are not stupid. They're just not.
I mean, and I told you guys, Louisiana mm-hmm. has one of the highest unemployment rates in the country right now.
But it doesn't matter because Trump says it's going to get better. But and here's what I mean. I'm glad to have Chris on mic in here. And here's what I mean. Here we go. Sunday, July 14th. I don't know what was happening Sunday, July 14th. That was last Sunday. Now, this is a mist of – I think that's when Trump came out that Saturday. He came out – or that Friday he came out with the racist remarks. Let's just say that around that
which
area.
Which he hasn't stopped.
Right. Well, here's what happened. They took a poll, and this is from NBC Wall Street poll, and they were comparing Biden to Trump. At that point where he came out with his racist remark and shocked America, Biden 51, Trump 42. That was Sunday, July 14th. Biden had a spread of plus 9. Now, we go to from the 14th to the 25th, all of this is going on, still the racist thing. You said it right, Mike. He hasn't stopped. Well, now, July 25th, with all that racist stuff, Biden 50, Trump 42. Now Biden is plus 8. We're going to fast forward it, Mike, to now. And here we go. Biden 51, Trump 49. Biden only by 2%, only by a plus 2 with a margin of error. So all this shit, Mike, that's going on in this shit storm about Baltimore and about this and the racist thing and everything, go ahead.
The racist stuff, you need to look at, are they the same polls? What are the dates of the polling?
Well,
because the Baltimore stuff isn't going to be showing up in Trump polls yet. They would have started. It'll be starting to show up if a poll comes out today. And they've been polling over the last, 48 hours. It'll start showing up. But those are questions that I would have.
Well, the same thing. But forget the racist thing. That we know this guy's inept. We know he's lying. He cover up. There's so many things we can go down the rabbit hole with him. But to come up as last week, when Biden had plus 9. And now to July, as of July 30th, you're right. Maybe they took the poll 3 weeks ago, but that's still.
Well,
if
it was July 30th, that's the date the poll came out. It was probably a poll that was taken, 3 or 4 days before that. Roughly.
Okay, even if it is, now they only got Biden plus 2. So then they got him with Buttigieg, sweet booty Pete. Trump beats him. Trump's up by 4. With Harris, Trump's up by 4. With Warren,
yeah, but
it's
with,
a tie.
With someone like Buttigieg, Trump
mm-hmm.
should be up by 20%. Because most
he
people
should.
Don't know who Buttigieg is. And he's not.
He
should. So that Trump is only 2 points ahead of Buttigieg means that Trump is doing poorly.
But no, that means, well,
yeah,
what
the city
is
trying to end up. The sitting president for 3 years that everybody in the country knows his name, and or for basically for almost 5 years now, if they didn't already know his name, they certainly do now. He's only 2 points ahead of somebody that you didn't even know how to pronounce his name 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
yeah.
But the
yeah,
scary thing, Arkansas, Mike.
Like 20% or higher.
Yeah. But forget those guys. But Biden's only up 2. And Biden was in, and we know Biden's record. He was in office for 8 years as vice president under Obama. But my point is that all the shenanigans these last 3 years and all this crap.
You're looking at one poll. It looks like the Emerson poll is what I'm guessing you're looking at.
I'm looking at, and you're correct, Mike. I am looking.
Did I get that right?
Yes, you are. You're basically correct. I'm trying to find. This is real clear.
I have them all. I pulled up all the major polls. Biden
right.
is ahead of Trump right now, 8%.
Okay.
Emerson
but
is the outlier. Emerson is the outlier that has Trump, that has Biden ahead only by 2 points.
Right.
Quinnipiac has Biden ahead
right.
by 13. Fox News has Biden ahead by 10.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You know what? It sounds to me like Fox News is starting to get tired of his shit and his shenanigans,
I think they are too.
Well, only, and I love Chris Wallace, and you know who his father is, Chris Wallace. And go ahead,
yeah.
Arkansas Mike, because you haven't had a chance, but I'm going to let Arkansas Mike in, because you might have some things. And by the way, Mike, Arkansas Mike, how's the family? How's your
family?
We're holding steady this morning. There's nothing worse than yesterday, which is the first time in 7 days that something hasn't been worse. So, you know, we're still playing this. We had been in 2 hour blocks. Now we're a little bit more into 4 to 6 hour blocks of holding our own, and that's a good place to be right now. You know, depending how bad we got, not going any further down is good news. Now we just need to see some improvement. Yeah. One thing to think about, and I appreciate y'all's prayers, and I appreciate everybody's thoughts and wishes. I really do. And it's amazing to me the number of people that my mother has touched all around the country from 50 years of teaching, and she's been active in social and been active in, you know, not only in state 4-H, but in national 4-H programs and lots of different leadership programs all over. I mean, she's been a hell of a woman her entire life. I don't think she's done yet. I don't think this is her throwing the towel. I really don't. It's going to change how, you know, it's going to change her mobility most likely. You know what I mean? But I think she'll pull out of this. But
good, Mike.
And I appreciate it. On the count of the pros and cons right now, the one thing that I'm waiting on, and again, we got to remember that we're still, 15 months away, 16 months away before an election ever gets cast, you know, before the first ballot. Everybody talks about the unemployment numbers. Look, Trump got the lowest black unemployment in history. Oh, look, Trump's got the lowest Hispanic unemployment in history. I'm waiting to see those advertisements, those commercials that then portray, so you're the white guy? You're going to vote for the black guy's prosperity? You, the white guy, are going to vote for the Hispanic guy's prosperity? You, the American patriot? You know how much he shot himself in the foot yesterday? You, the American patriot, are going to let him blatantly lie about being a first responder at 911?
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be – can you imagine the commercials that are just going to be run continuously no matter who the ultimate candidate is against him? And every time that you will see something positive, you've got a whole library of stuff to throw the negative in a split screen right along with it.
Yeah.
And if you don't think that's going to start running in, next May.
Yeah.
Brian,
that's a good point.
If you were to run for president, you wouldn't have to say anything. All you would have to say is roll tape.
I wouldn't have to debate him. It's like roll tape. You know, Trump will talk about the economy and everybody. How about you, Mr. Jackson? Roll tape, and that'll be Donald Trump lying. But that's all I have to do. It's easiest debate ever.
And, you know, the con for the Democrats. And I agree 100% with what Mike said on the likability factor. It is certainly there. And I will tell you, I'll tell you one pro, and then I'll throw you the con. The one pro for Trump to lose is that he's not running against Hillary Clinton.
Right.
It wasn't Republican versus Democrat so much as it was, hey, a certain group of Trump supporters meshed with a group of anti-Clinton
Right.
There were probably just as many votes voted or cast for Trump as they were cast against Hillary Clinton. And so that then ties into the con part of the Democrats losing, is if whoever is the nominee, if somehow under the Russian guys or under the Cambridge Analytica folk or under the Chinese or the Korean or whoever's going to, you know, because it's not going to be the Republican Party itself that's going to be smart enough to pull it off. I'm sorry, but it's not. But it's going to be, can they twist it so that the candidate of the Democrats, can they equate that candidate to being Hillary Clinton?
Right.
Can they generate that anti-Clinton vote again? Because without the anti-Clinton vote, in my opinion, Trump would never have won.
I think I think you're right. They needed an enemy.
And that is, I mean, the Clintons have been marked people, you know, because everybody's known them for 30 years. And, you know, and that creates a, I mean, the state of Arkansas, there would not be a Republican Party in the state of Arkansas if it were not for the Clintons, period. Because it's the anti-Clinton vote that meshes with the Republican vote that keeps winning elections in Arkansas.
Let me ask you this, Mike, Arkansas Mike. I understand, and I agree with you 100%. It makes sense, and I agree. We haven't seen the ads yet. The ads going to be bloody. The ads are going to be murder.
I mean,
it's going to, I don't know how he's going to even survive that campaign. But if, let's just play devil advocate for a minute, Mike, Arkansas Mike. What worries you the most that Trump may win? What worries you the most about this whole thing that Trump may pull this out?
The squashing of our justice system because of the blatant corruption that's going on right now, and you just saw it in the state of Arkansas yesterday where Trump commuted Ted Stahl.
Yeah.
And I mean, and here, and Brian, if you want to pull something up and let me put a personal flavor with it, pull up the headline article, the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and Ted Stahl's attorney that he hired, his former U.S. prosecuting attorney that he hired to plead his case to Trump, his name is Bud Cummins. And Bud Cummins just happens to be a very close antagonist. Every time we tie in on Facebook, and it's been that way for 30 years that I've known him and who he is, but we tie in on Facebook all the time. He was the chairman for Trump campaign 2016 for the state of Arkansas. And I lambast him. Pull up his quote and read where he says, well, essentially, my client was convicted by a serial liar or a proven liar and with false allegations against him. So I'm pleased for, because the Department of Justice needs to review their policies. Number one, the man was so guilty that the court convicted him irregardless of a, quote, proven liar, you know, that might have even made stuff up or blah, 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 because it was so, he's so guilty. And it's the squashing of what should be our actual federal justice system on the corruption. They're going to keep hammering criminal offenses, but just look at the governor of Puerto Rico. You know, I mean, we all saw that in real time when we saw Ryan Zinke's son get the $342 million no-bid contract with six employees to redo the electricity in Puerto Rico. That is straight-up corruption. RICO, R-I-C-O, RICO law.
Well,
and
Mike,
what scares me the most, because four more years of that, we will have a banana republic as far as justice is concerned for white-collar crime in this country. It will be a free-for-all. It will be the Russian oligarchy, period.
Well, you're right, because the headline says Trump grants, commutation?
Commutation, yeah.
Yeah, the commutation for Arkansas businessman convicted of bribery. This was only 3 hours ago. And yep. I guess Governor Mike Huckabee was leading the charge to commute the prison sentence of a Warm Springs man convicted of federal bribery charges.
Yep. Now read Bud Cummins' statement. And listen to the lawyerese of Bud Cummins' statement.
It's like
Brian,
corruption
hold on, Mike.
Your face.
Brian?
Yes. Yes.
We have 6 minutes.
Okay, 6 minutes. God, we go so fast with. And I think Mike was on the beach. We took too long on the beach.
Yeah.
And 6 minutes. I'm going to ask Mike the same thing.
Yeah, that was
my fault. Now, Mike Romo. And thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
I wish we could talk more on this since we only have 6 minutes. I'm going to give Mike Mike's segment. I'm going to ask you the same thing, Mike. What scares you the most? Dig deep. That you think that Trump may pull this out?
Well, again, it's what I go back to. And I'm kind of tied in with this. I think in 2016, the Democrats managed to nominate the only candidate that could lose to Donald Trump. And I think the Republicans managed to nominate the only candidate that that had the ability, because of his, you know, whatever, to beat Hillary Clinton. I don't think any of the other Republican nominees could have beaten her. But what I see is the greatest danger, you know, for Democrats in 2020, again, goes back to a block of the idea that there's going to be some sort of protest vote by a notable number of Democrats, which I think occurred in 2016. And people were, you know, like Arkansas Mike said, that, you know, a block of Trump voters were people that did support him, but a large block were people that were voting against Hillary. That's always a risk in a presidential campaign. So that would be my biggest fear, is that somehow happens. But I cannot see, for example, I'll use Kamala Harris. If Kamala Harris is the party's nominee, I cannot see her possibly generating the level of ill will that Hillary Clinton managed to generate over a multi-decade career, really, among some Democrats. That's not going to happen. And independents.
Well, since we're almost out of time, I want to go to a speed round. We're going to see your pick for the best person that Trump goes against on the Democrat side. Just give me just 5 seconds of why you think they could beat, or maybe you think they can't beat. Let's go with Buttigieg against Trump. Buttigieg is who would win in that election, in your honest opinion?
Buttigieg.
You really think so? I don't think so.
Of course. Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. Buttigieg.
Harris against Trump.
Harris.
Warren against Trump.
Warren.
That's going to be a tight one. I don't know. The Pocahontas thing is still going to stain her.
That's racism. That's racism. The majority of American people, they're not racist.
Right.
And this vote, this 2020 is going to be decided by independents in the suburbs in the final analysis. And independent voters in the suburbs are not going to vote for a man that belittles a woman and uses racial slurs to identify her. And that counts for that's Republican women as well in the suburbs. Ain't going to vote for Trump.
Let's move on to Sanders. What about Colonel Sanders?
Sanders, you know, Sanders followers aren't going to like this. I don't think he has a chance of being the party's nominee.
Right.
For a whole, and not because of his politics. I think he's the grumpy old uncle, and I don't know if folks want a grumpy old uncle right now. We've just had the appalling old madman, and I don't know. But I do think Sanders would beat Trump. I do think so.
Really? I think it would be too. I think the socialist kind of thing will kind of hamper that because again, Trump keeps it very simple. And
but again, Trump keeps it simple for that one block of voters. Folks in the suburbs understand the difference between a democratic socialist and a socialist. They also understand that socialism is an economic system, that is in place in many countries around the world, and has nothing to do with communism. Communism is a political structure, nothing to do with economics. So, and again, we come back to independent voters in the suburbs. You know, I agree with you that Bernie's a harder road against Trump than some of the other candidates, partially because of, you know, his politics are to the left, I think, of a majority of Americans. And again, he has some other liabilities. I mean, I don't like to say this about a person, but he's older and he seems older. So I think but again, I still think he beats Trump.
Well, let me tell you something. I think the same problem. Sanders and Warren, same problem. They have the same problem with the socialized thing. I think Trump will beat them. Okay, really quickly, Mike, who will get the nominee on the Democratic side?
I still can't. I couldn't even tell you. I mean, my gut still kind of tells me that it's going to be one of the women. I kind of think it might be Kamala Harris. I still kind of think that. I've thought that for a while. The debate tonight, the debate tomorrow night, that probably is going to put, you know, six of these candidates, you know, really place them in a top tier after tonight. And then I think, well, you know, the media will start focusing more on, not that they're not already focusing on, you know, Harris and Warren and Sanders and even Buttigieg, but, you know, the focus will sharpen on maybe six of these candidates after tonight and tomorrow night. And then maybe we start seeing some very early trends as we go into August and September. You know, the Iowa caucuses are in February, and that's not that far away. So, you know, the field will narrow between now and then Iowa, and then right on the heels of that, New Hampshire, and there's going to be a front runner, I'm pretty sure.
Wow. Well, so,
but who it is,
okay.
I don't know. Who it is, I don't know.
My prediction will be Biden. My prediction
would
be Biden.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely ahead.
Hands down will be Biden. People are familiar with him. They know the politics, the Obama thing. He's leading the polls by double digits. Biden's going to take Ohio. He's going to take Pennsylvania. He's going to take Wisconsin. And he might even take Florida because of all the immigration problems. I think if Trump goes against Biden, even Trump predicted it today. He said Sleepy Joe was going to probably take it. And he can't go after Biden unless he goes after the politics of Obama. The problem I see with Biden is he has to separate himself with his own politics, and so it doesn't go with the Obama against Trump kind of politics. I think that's the problem he's going to have. What do you say, Mike, really quickly in about 5 seconds? Is that going to be his biggest problem, is to separate himself from Obama?
You know, it's a problem and a blessing, because there are going to be voters that are supporting Biden because of Obama, and there are going to be voters that are going to shy away from him because of Obama. So I don't know. Maybe it's a wash. I don't know. I mean, it could be a wash.
Something familiar, though. Mike, I want to thank you so much. I want to give Arkansas Mike the last word. I'm going to give him the last question. Mike, who do you think will take the nomination in a Democratic side? Arkansas Mike.
I'm just like Mike B. I will not. I'm playing the trifecta right now. I'm not voting on a winner yet. I'm just playing the field, or however you want to say it. I want to see how these debates go. You know, I know who I think the top three are going to be, but even that yet, there's still, you know, there's still two dark horses in my mind that could surge forward. So,
Really quick.
But y'all have
round.
A great day. I appreciate your time.
Mike, our blessings, Mike. Arkansas,
thank
Mike,
you.
Our blessing, and we're with you. Thank you
appreciate
so much for coming
it.
In.
I will pass it on. All right. Y'all have a great day.
You too. Thank you, Mike Bromo, for coming in. I really
sure.
appreciate it. By so fast, and thank you for going to the beach. Next time, we're going to go to the movies.
Okay.
And, Mike, before
that
you leave,
good.
Remind people what you do. You have a play coming out with Hedy. Well, you have a play coming out that's coming out. You're a playwright, and give us a little something.
Well, yeah, there's a number of plays that are out and about right now, but one, it's called Stand Still and Look Stupid. It's the life story of Hedy Lamarr, cutting to the chase about Hedy Lamarr. She was a popular Hollywood actress in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, a little bit into the 50s. They called her the most beautiful girl in the world, but what most people don't know is that Hedy Lamarr came up with the technology that makes everything from Wi-Fi to GPS to Bluetooth to your smartphone to the TV tuner to the scanner at the grocery store work. It's all because of Hedy Lamarr. And so there's a play called Stand Still and Look Stupid, and that, the title comes from the fact that people would ask Hedy Lamarr, what do you do to be a glamorous Hollywood actress? And Hedy Lamarr said, you stand still and look stupid. And but she would be the most brilliant person in any room she was in. Period.
Ah, there you go.
And so this play, yeah, this play's about her, and it's opening in Ireland on August 7th as part of what they call in Ireland the Festival of the People, which is the largest arts festival in the country. So that's kind of a big deal, and I'm really kind of excited about that.
Oh, Mike, it sounds really great. You got to give us a review on that and keep us up on the update on that. And I want to thank you very much for getting, you know, donating your time to come in here and support Arkansas Mike and support Mike Bromo. He's on Facebook. And Mike, are you on Twitter?
Yes.
Okay. Say hello to Mike. Pinch his beautiful butt cheeks. They're tight and amazing. Right, Ellen?
I guess, if you say so.
Ellen never commits to it. Thank you, Arkansas. I mean, thank you, Mike Bromo. We'll hopefully see you next week. We're going to be doing this until the election. We're going to be watching the debate. We're going to have a lot to talk about next week, buddy. I got a feeling Kamala Harris is the dark horse, and she just might pull it out because I got a feeling that Biden may kind of slip, and he's slipping now. But if we got
tonight's
going to
be
got,
interesting.
I think
oh,
so.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, no,
tonight
go ahead,
tomorrow
buddy.
Night, the debates are going to be interesting.
Tonight and tomorrow
people
night.
Be supposed to wait. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, have a good one.
You too. Arkansas
Bye.
Mike
okay.
and Mike Bromo, everybody. And we'll be right back with our next show that starts in exactly 2 minutes. Ellen, take me out. Oh, wait a minute, Ellen.
Yep. Yes.
We have to end the show. Wait a minute. We got to end the show with a new theme, okay?
Okay.
We got to end
oh,
the
God.
Show. This is Arkansas. This is for Mike Bromo. I always do things
oh,
for Mike.
Lord.
I like...
Oh, Lordy.
We're going to
well,
call this.
I'm having the heart attack at the end of the show rather than the beginning of the show.
You never know, you don't.
Hey, I'm glad there's still a show. I'm happy.
Hey, isn't
show.
That something? Isn't that
yeah.
something?
Yep.
I didn't really think there was going
like
to be, but.
Ellen's comment. Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Yep.
Did I say something I wasn't supposed to say?
Wait. Mike, wait, you can't leave it. I know I'm running out of time, but I want you to hear our closing. Here we go. We dedicate this song. Okay, let me set it up. Everybody,
oh,
we love Mike Bromo. Mike is, and we all know his talents as a playwright, his talents, the intellectual side of Mike is just amazing. His talents with Hedy Lamarr play. And Mike, you didn't know that Mike was also a musical artist. And
I did not know
writes,
that either.
Yeah. Well, Mike sent me a song that we should play at the end of our show closing. You know, and it came from his heart. And now we're going to play. Look, cheer up, Mike. It's a good song. Oh, my God. This song is from Mike Bromo's heart. And we're going to be playing this at the closing of each show. And,
oh, dear.
All right, Mike. I want to thank Ellen. Do you want to thank Mike for sending us this song? Our closing song?
Thank you, Mike. Yes.
Yeah, Mike. Thank
yeah.
you. Here you go.
I did not send this. Yeah.
This is from Mike Bromo, our closing
oh,
of, our
no.
show, of our show.
We got to say good night.
See, Mike, it has that old theme. Here you go. From Mike Bromo, everybody. Mike Bromo.
It's that time again. We gotta say good night. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend. All right, people. It's time to go home. Yep. Losing time. We're ready to head on out. So let's go. You don't have to go home. But you can't stay here. Now you're making me mad. You're gonna make me swear.
Get the fuck out of here. Finish up that beer.
You might as well call it a night, my friend. You're gonna have to
get the fuck out.
Well, maybe I'm out of line, but I'll take the blame. There's a better choice of words that I can't use to explain.
Get the fuck out of here. Finish up that beer.
I'm gonna have to ask you to leave, my friend. Make like a tree and leave. All your fairies and Cinderella's, I'm giving you the heat.
Get the fuck out of here.
That's right, you hear what I'm saying?
Finish up that beer.
I want you to call it a night, old friend. You're gonna have to
get the fuck out.
You heard me.
Get the fuck out.
Arrivederci, sayonara.
Get the fuck out.
Ciao. Good night.
Bye-bye. So long. Farewell. Get the fuck out.
See you later, alligator. In a wild crocodile.
Get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out.
Can I get a refill, please?
Hey,
get
you,
the fuck out.
Hey, get out of here. What are you fucking
get
scared?
Get the fuck out.
Yeah, you.
Oh, thank you, Mike. That was beautiful. That was such a beautiful. You're such a talented guy. Mike Bromo, everybody. We'll see you guys
next
week.
Have a good
week. Day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.